Turn to your Bibles this morning. We're going to read Judges chapter 14. A little lengthy. A few scriptures. Small title. Judges 14, we'll read 1 through 18. And Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goes to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, and that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at the time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnah, and came to the vineyards of Timnah, and behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him and as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father and his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hand and went on eating, and came to his father and mother and gave them, and they did eat. But he told them not. He told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of a lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if you cannot declare it, then you shall give me 30 sheets and 30 chains of garment. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that you may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare to us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with thee. Have you called us to take what we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it to my father nor my mother. And shall I tell it to thee? And she wept before him. You ever heard of nagging? And she wept before him 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of the people. And the men of the city said unto him, on the 7th day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer. That's funny. He had not found out my riddle. Amen. I want to speak to you today. If your God lets you do whatever you want, then your God is you. If your God lets you do whatever you want, then your God is you. What a waste. Lord, we love you. We ask you right now to touch and speak here today. I pray, God, that you'll help. You'll speak through your servant. I pray, God, you'll speak to every heart here today. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Samson is the 12th and final judge of Israel depicted in the book of Judges. And while more pages are devoted to Samson than any other single character in Judges, this riddle-telling figure remains a riddle of a man. What should we take of a man who when I hear of or think about, when I think of Samson, you think of a bodybuilder. What are we to make of a deliverer of Israel whose only gift from God, folks, appears to have been his enormous physical strength? Think about that today. He is called to deliver Israel, but the only thing is his enormous physical strength that God gave him, which existed along with equality, enormous character flaws. Along with that, he had a lot of faults. Charles Spurgeon said this, "The Old Testament biographies were never written for our imitation, but they were written for our instruction." What a waste, folks, of this life. Now, I don't know about you, but something that really aggravates me is waste. You can ask my wife. Sometimes it seems as though we are surrounded by waste. Everywhere we turn, we see example after example of one type of waste or another. Think about all the government waste that we see. Everybody's heard of the $600 toilet seats or the $200 haircuts. See, it can really get upsetting to think of all the money that the government takes from us. Money that we could really put to good use. And not only do they take and spend it, and they are about to take more, but they waste so much of it. It's not their money. Another kind of waste that you can really bothers me when you see people waste food. You know, there was a time when I couldn't stand it when I see people take the crust off the bread. But you know, folks, today I can hardly eat bread, and when I do, I can't eat the crust. And it drives me crazy because I feel that I'm wasting it. So I have to give it to my squirrels and my birds. I can't waste it. So seeing people waste food, I grew up in a house, if you didn't eat fast, you didn't get much. Okay? So we didn't waste food. Another kind of waste that can really test your patience is the waste of time. You know what really makes you mad is when somebody else wastes your time. I'll meet you at 9 o'clock, and they don't show up till 10 o'clock. That's wrong. You don't care about somebody else. Or tell somebody, hey, we want to get together this day and day. Oh, yeah, let's get together Tuesday. And that person rearranges all of their time around that Tuesday to spend time with them. And then they call, I can't come. That's wrong. I don't care. You're not considerate of somebody. I hate wasting time. Merriam-Webster says this about waste: to wear away or diminish gradually or consume, to spend or use carelessly, squander, waste valuable resources, to allow to be inefficient. Another type of waste that is far too frequent and really hurts to see is the waste of people's lives. I hate to see people waste their lives. Waste their youth. To see people who have potential, folks, hear me today, people who have potential to do great things, whether it is in a business world, but especially, folks, it is hurting for me as a pastor to see people who have great potential to do great things for God and waste away their walk with God. Just give it all, give it away, or they lose it for something stupid. It is terrible tragedy, folks, to see people waste their lives. Maybe they went out and decided to drink and have an accident and draw other driving drunk. What a waste! Maybe they overdosed on drugs because they thought, I could do this, I could handle this. Or they think they will not get caught and they'll do something illegal like steal something, and they think they can get away with it. But they think they can lie. And that's okay. I'll never get caught. Or they think that they can just miss church whenever they want. Or they think they can come to church and not worship God. Or just stand there and look at people. I'm telling you, folks, it's a waste. It's such a tragedy. When you read in Judges 13, in chapter 13 through chapter 16, you see that Samson is a powerful example of wasted potential. Samson could have done something for God, but he didn't. Give me a little more monitor, please. He could have done something great for God, but he didn't. He wasted his potential. Amen, folks. I want to look at what Samson had. I want to look at what Samson did. I want to look at what Samson lost and what Samson learned today. You see, one of the things that Samson had was he had a great life. Samson probably went to Jordan River High School. And he would have been, folks, amen, nearly on every page of the yearbook. This strong, handsome man with his long, curly hair. You see, he would have been captain of all the sports teams and probably president of the student body, king for the homecoming court. And he would have been voted probably most likely to great and tremendous things. Samson was, you might say, born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Samson had a lot of things going for him, folks. He was born to parents who wanted a child very badly. Manoah and his wife were from the tribe of Dan. They had wanted a child, but Manoah's wife was sterile, and so the couple remained childless for many years. And we know that in a Jewish family, folks, if you were childless, that was kind of a bad thing. You were looked down upon. You see, the angel of the Lord came and told her one day. She was probably out doing her laundry, and all of a sudden she's there by herself, and the angel of the Lord walks up and told her that she would have a child. She would have a son. And she was so excited, she quickly ran and she told her husband, and they both rejoiced over this wonderful news. Not only was Samson born to parents who wanted him, he was born to a family who believed in worshiping God, and they worshiped God. And folks, amen, he was blessed to have that in his life. But not like Gideon. I'm sorry, Manoah reacted when he first heard the news that he would have a son. Listen to how he reacted in Judges 13, verse 8, when Manoah prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born." Look at the first thing he does. He goes and prays that God send that man again. And later, when the angel of the Lord came back to Manoah, prepared an offering for him. Samson had parents who wanted him and believed in him. And Samson was also set apart by God. Before Samson was born, while still in the womb, he was set apart by God for a special purpose. Samson was to be a Nazarite, and he was chosen to begin the deliverance of the Israelites from the hands of the Philistines. You see, a Nazarite vow was a vow of separation. A Nazarite vow was a vow of consecration to the Lord. And God introduces that in Numbers chapter 6. But see, folks, the outward acts associated with his separation were that he was not to come in contact with a dead body. He was not to come in contact nor eat of the fruit of the vine. He was not to come in contact with no razor may be used on his head. And he was to abstain from this for the entire period of his vow. And Samson's vow for life, God called him a Nazarite of God from birth until his death. And God's Spirit stirred within Samson, and he was given incredible physical strength. In his life, folks, he killed a lion with only his bare hands. With the jawbone of a donkey, he killed 1,000 men, and he performed many other great acts of superhuman strength. You see, Samson had a lot. Some people might say he had it all. Parents who loved him and wanted him. Raised in a home that feared and worshiped God. A miraculous birth by God. Given superhuman strength to be God's warrior. To conquer God's enemies. And wow, folks, this guy looks like he was destined for greatness for God. How could Samson, with all this going for him, how could he possibly lose it? Samson had it all. And Samson, folks, did whatever he wanted to do. Despite being given such a great start, Samson did not take very long to go astray. And folks, when I look at our walks with God, and look at here around this place today and see people who live for God, who God has blessed tremendously, God has brought out of ugly situations in your past and has blessed your life, I look to say we've got it all. How can we mess it up? How can we not do great things for God? But just like Samson, he did whatever he wanted to do. See, despite being given so much great things to start his life, Samson did not take very long to mess up. After Samson had grown, he took a trip to Timnah, which is about 5 miles northwest of where he grew up. And while there he saw a very beautiful Philistine woman. And when he returned home, he told mom and dad, "While I was in Timnah today, I saw a Philistine woman. Now get her for me as my wife." See, mom and dad knew that this was not a good idea. You see, his leadership is telling him, "Samson, you don't want to go in this direction. Samson, you don't want to be in that." They're trying to tell him this is not good. They knew, God forbid, intermarrying with the pagan nations. Mom and dad had told Samson, "Samson, there are many other beautiful women here among your own people. Why do you want to go and marry an ungodly Philistine?" You see, folks, even though Samson knew that this marriage was against God's will, even though Samson knew that it was the father who arranged marriages in that culture, even though Samson knew his actions were in direct defiance against God and his parents, his authority, despite all of this, Samson only cared about what Samson wanted to do. It didn't matter what God wanted, although he knew. It didn't matter what his parents, his leadership wanted, although he knew. All that mattered was Samson, what Samson wanted. And Samson yelled at his parents, "Get her for me because she pleases me." You see, this act was the beginning of the end for Samson. You see, he would continue on his downward spiral of self-pleasure, of self-gratification. Folks, remember, Samson killed a lion with his bare hands one day as he traveled to Timnah. We'll see, sometime later, as Samson walked down the road, he saw the carcass of the lion. It was laying on the ground. And inside the carcass was a swarm of bees and some honey. Although Samson, folks, he was a Nazarite. Remember the vow? He was set apart by God. And he was set apart by God and for God. And a part of this vow was not to have contact with a dead body or eat unclean food. But Samson, he didn't really care. He didn't care about that. All he cared about was what that there was honey. It looked good. And I want some. So he put his hand into the dead carcass and he scooped at that big handful of honey. And he ate it as he walked down the road. You see, folks, we can be that way sometimes. I know I shouldn't reach into that. I know I shouldn't taste that. But it looks so sweet. It looks so good. Well, I want it, so I'm going to take it. See, folks, Samson did whatever he wanted to live. He wanted to live for himself. He wanted to live for his own pleasures. See, folks, if your God lets you do whatever you want, then your God is you. And what a waste. Samson knew what he did was wrong. And that is why the text says that he didn't tell his parents about the honey. He must have thought to himself, what they don't know won't hurt me. He gave him the honey, but he didn't tell him where he got it. But Samson had forgotten that though his earthly father could not see, God saw and knew. Samson went from bad to worse, folks, as his pride, as his arrogance grew in him. And we find Samson in these chapters using his strength, not for God's glory, but for himself, wanting to show everyone just how great he was. I'm a Nazarite. I'm apostolic. Look at me. I dressed the part. I looked the part. See, God sees that attitude that says, I'll do whatever I want. If I don't want to worship in church, I'm not going to worship. If I want to miss, I'm going to miss. If I wanted to go out and do this, I'll go do it. If I want to do that, I'll go do it. That's what Samson did. You see, Samson went from bad to worse. That's usually what happens in that kind when you have that kind of an attitude. We find Samson in these chapters using his strength for his benefit, not for God. See, folks, if your God lets you do whatever you want, then your God is you. What a waste. Samson had become too big for his britches. You see, he began to think that he had become powerful on his own. He thought that he was the source of his own strength. Man, aren't I really something? Samson was headed for trouble. Solomon said in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And that is exactly what happened to Samson, folks. He fell. And he experienced destruction. And as we see with Samson, folks, he lost it all. He lost it all. When you read in Judges 16, Samson fell in love with a Philistine woman named Delilah. And when the rulers of the Philistines heard about this, they offered her money. And she could find, if she could find out the secret of his strength. So Delilah, using her beauty and her charm, tried on several occasions to find out, and each time Samson would lie, and then when the Philistines come to arrest him, he would break free. Samson did this three times, and Delilah was upset because Samson had lied to her. Now I guess she didn't bother to mention the fact that she had been trying to turn him over to the enemies. So Delilah did what any smart woman would do when she wants her way, with much nagging. She prodded him day after day until he was tired to death of her. She wore him down. She nagged him to death until he finally broke and he told her what she wanted to know just to shut her up. He told her that he was a Nazarite and that his strength came from God and that if his hair was cut, he would be just as any other man. And Delilah betrayed him. See, that's how the world does things, folks. You go out there and put your trust in them. You go out there and do what you think that you just want to do because you want to do it. And watch the world betray you. your own actions. You can have an attitude. You can do whatever you want. You can act any way you want at church. You can decide not to go to church, whatever. But your actions will betray you. Delilah betrayed him. She cut his hair while he slept in her lap. And he lost his strength. And the Philistines burst in to arrest him and gouged out both of his eyes and threw shackles on him and put him in prison. And they had made him grind at the grain at the mill. Folks, Samson had it all. But because he did whatever he wanted to do, he lost everything. Samson lost his strength. Samson lost his eyes. Samson lost his freedom. He lost the presence of the Lord. So sad. That strength that God gives us every day, folks. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. You go ahead and mess around and watch, you're going to lose your strength, folks. Amen. You go ahead and mess around and watch, you're going to lose your eyes. You're going to lose your way. You're going to lose the real freedom that God, only God can give. Only God can give you the freedom. Amen. People think they can do whatever they want, but I'll tell you what, you get out there in the world and you mess around with drugs and all that stuff and watch what binds you. There are people bound with little things about that long. So sad. Judges 16:20 says, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. What a sad scripture. He didn't even realize, folks, that God had departed from him. You see, that's what happens, folks, when we do what we want to do. You see, folks, if your God lets you do whatever you want, then your God is you. What a waste. Think of what Samson could have done for God if he would have used his talent, if he would have used his abilities for God. He could have done so much. What a waste. What a stupid, senseless waste. Now, I'm sure it had to break his parents' heart. I'm sure God's heart was broken. And it was many tears. But as God's eyes move to and fro through his kingdom today, folks, and God looks at the church, his heart still breaks as he sees a tremendous waste that is everywhere to be seen. There are so many people, countless people that God has given talents to and abilities to. People who can do great and tremendous things for the kingdom of God. Everywhere, according to Jesus, has been given at least one talent. Everybody has given one talent. Everybody. Everyone has the ability to do something significant for the kingdom of God. And many of these talented people like Samson know what God wants. They know what God desires. They know that God wants them to be a servant in the kingdom of God. But they want to do what they want to do. They, like Samson, use their God-given ability more for themselves than they do for God. You see, folks, if your God lets you do whatever you want to do, then your God is you, and that is a waste. God hears people say the right answers. We all need to serve God. We all need to put Him first. God hears it all the time. God is waiting to see the actions. He's waiting to see the strength that is going to be used for Him. And deep down, people today like Samson, they must think that they can make their own decisions. They think they can do it. It's okay to be like, the song Frank Sinatra sings, do it their own way. He said, I did it my way. And many people do just that. God has given so much, given so many so much, folks. But they want to do what they want to do. They, like Samson, suffer great loss. They never develop the deep relationship with God. And they never really experience that peace that passes all understanding. Their life seems to be merely a series of ups and downs and smiles and frowns. Mostly downs and mostly frowns. Even as little as insignificant things wear them down, they just seem so down. But maybe the greatest loss is the people they could have helped. The souls they could have been saved if they would have just given everything to God. What a waste. What a senseless, stupid waste. You see, folks, if your God lets you do whatever you want, then your God is you. And what a waste. Samson did finally learn the truth, though. I've seen this growing up in the church. I've seen parents, while their children are small, decide to walk away from the things of God and leave the church. And after years of it, they decide to come back, but their children are nowhere to be found because they didn't raise them to know this God. But see, Samson, after he destroyed everything, after he lost everything, he finally learned some things. You see, there stood the once great, mighty, and feared Samson. His eyes are missing. His feet are shackled. His back is bent over from working hour after hour, grinding grain like a mule. And as Samson felt the whip rip across his back, as he heard the jeers and as he heard the mocking, Samson began to do some serious thinking and he began to reflect some things in his life. And Samson came to some important conclusions in his life. You see, he learned many things. He learned that, man, I've sinned. Samson learned that he had done sinful things, that he had not used and had misused his strength that God had given him. Samson, he also learned and he understood all too well that sin often has tragic consequences. Come on. And listen, it's not only sin to do all the partying stuff and all that kind of, it's sin to have attitudes. It's sin to have a prideful a spirit that says, I'll do what I want. Come on, we so often overlook that. We look around and see those people that we think are going and partying and doing that kind of stuff. What about the attitudes? What about your pride? Samson learned he had done these sinful things. He had not used his talents, his strength that God gave him. He didn't use it for God. He didn't use it for the things of God. And Samson also learned that he must repent. See, that even he must humble himself before God. That God he had ignored, that God he had used, I must humble myself and repent. And Samson in the dark prison confessed and repented of his sins before his God. You see, maybe the most beautiful truth Samson learned was this, folks, that God can and will forgive and restore. Come on! God will, he'll forgive you. He'll restore you if you let him. Judges 16:28 through 30, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon the house which the house stood, and on it which was borne up of the one with the right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all of his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Folks, understand something. Understand this today. Samson killed many more in his death serving God than he did when he lived his life serving himself. It was his greatest victory. It came while serving God. You see, Samson had a lot, folks. He could have done many things for God. But he wanted so much of what he wasted so much of what he had. He wasted everything. And we all have a lot. And we can do so many things for God. But like Samson, are we wasting what we have? Are we wasting what we have? Samson did whatever he wanted. His needs came first. We need to pray, God, help me not to be selfish. Help me, God, not to be selfish. Many people, even in the church, are doing only what they want to do. You see, their needs and their desires come before God far too often. You know, God puts an impression upon somebody. Go talk to that person. Go invite them over to your house. Oh, God, I don't have time for that. I need to rest. I need to do this. I got to do that. Their needs before God's. Samson did whatever he wanted. His needs came first. See, we today, our needs and our desires come before God's far too often, folks. Samson lost everything. He lost his strength. He lost his freedom. He lost his sight. He lost the presence of the Lord. I ask you today, what have you lost? What are you losing? See, Samson finally did learn the truth, though. It took pain. It took prison. It took humiliation to bring him to his knees. Will you learn the truth of what God is speaking to you today? What's it got to take for God to get a hold of you? See, God has a desire to see great things in every one of us here today. What does he have to do? What does he have to allow to happen in your life for you to wake up? What will it take to bring you to your knees and make you realize that we have sinned by going our own way and doing our own thing and neglecting God? Will we repent or just think about it and say, maybe later? And then go ahead and do what we want. You see, folks, if your God lets you do whatever you want, then your God is you. And what a waste. If we, like Samson, repent, we will experience God's forgiveness and God's restoration. And like Samson, folks, our greatest victories will be yet to come. Amen? If you are here and you have never served God, the God that I serve, I want to talk to you about the greatest waste in the world. I can say without any hesitation that there is no bigger waste than to live your whole life and never serve Jesus Christ. If that is where you are, then everything you do is really just a waste of time. You can have an education, but if you don't have Jesus, you don't have nothing. You can have a great job, but if you don't have Jesus Christ, then you have nothing. All of your efforts to be something, folks, everything you try to be in this life, because your end will only be eternal separation from God. What a waste when you could obey Acts 2:38 message and have an awesome life. What a waste to refuse life and choose death. You see, folks, we have seen God, because of his amazing grace, was willing to forgive Samson. What an awesome God. Amen. Even though Samson did his own God, he was his own God and lived only to please his own self. Let me tell you how good God is. Amen. Let me tell you something I want to point something out here today. During his rebellious life, as we stand. During Samson's rebellious life. Of doing whatever pleased Samson. I want to talk about the riddle. You see, when Samson offered the riddle to the Philistines, he made a deal that they would give him 30 changes of garments. If they could not answer the riddle, if they did answer the riddle, he would give them 30 changes of garments. So what is the riddle? Out of the eater, came forth meat. Out of the strong came forth sweetness. So what? Oh, you hear something? So in the course of events, they got the answer by cheating. They plowed with his heifer. The day came and they gave the answer to the riddle. And they asked, what is stronger than a lion? What is sweeter than honey? You see, Samson was walking down the road and the lion attacked him. You ever get attacked by the enemy? Trying to live for God? You have something in your life you struggle with? I'm telling you how good our God is. He's a great God, folks. And God knows we struggle with things. He knows we struggle sometimes. So here's Samson. He's walking down the road and this lion comes out and attacks him. And Samson, the Bible says, rent that lion as he would a lamb. He ripped it apart. And later on, as he's walking down the road, here he is again, folks, walking down life. We're walking down in our spiritual walk. We're walking down as Christians. And that old enemy comes at us. Here he is walking again. And he sees. He turns aside. He looks at that carcass. That problem that had haunted him. That problem that came against him. He says, I just want to check it out. And he looks, and within the carcass of that problem, there's a huddle of bees that had built a beehive. And Samson robbed that beehive. Out of that problem. And he took the honeycomb and the honey. And this was where he got the idea for his riddle to confuse the Philistines. Out of the destroyer came sweetness. Or you could say it like this, out of my problem that God gave me victory over came sweetness. You see the point, folks. The lion had tried to destroy him and had tried destroyed. It was destroyed instead. Folks, there are times when there are things that try to destroy us. And in the end, we enjoy some of life's sweetness and most wonderful blessings that anyone could enjoy because of the victory that God gives us. What an awesome God we serve. For the battle that life brings your way. And in the course of time, as you have been patient, as you have been faithful, and have been steady in your service, you will find your hands full of honey. Victory will be found in the place of an earlier battle in your life. You see, folks, we all have a testimony. Amen. And there's times when you can look back. Amen. And you can tell somebody what God gave you victory over. You can tell somebody, I had the sweetness from the destroyer. Amen. God gave me victory in this battle. What an awesome God. He can do it for you. I'm here today to tell you, fight the battles that life bring your way. And in the course of time, as you have been patient and faithful and been steady in your service, God will bless you. Amen, folks. Victory will be found of a place earlier battle. Doubt will be overcome by a stronger faith. Sin will be destroyed and hunger for holiness will be found in your life. Fear will have been conquered and boldness will now find its lodging in your soul. Light will be born where there was darkness. Folks, God always wants to bless. God always wants to give victory to His people that allow Him to be their God. Let me tell you what God wants to do in Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Hallelujah. Christian, non-Christian, are you wasting your life today? Let God use you. This altar's open. Come on, I challenge you to come up here. Amen. Let God touch you today. Amen. Don't worry about your past. Don't worry about your problems. Amen. Look to your future. Amen. From here on out, it's new serving God. Come on, encourage somebody to come with you. Come on. Hallelujah. Let God bless you.